beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Cheer! Let's see that slang. Fricassee and duck. Well, I guess I'm the goat. You're a dirty dog. And you are a dirty skunk.
I'm a dirty skunk? I'm a dirty skunk?
Brother, am I a pigeon? Look, pal, what you need is a little briefing. Let's go over here and talk private for a minute. Okay, now let's get back to fundamentals. All right now, let's go over it once more. Now, what are you?
I'm a hunter.
And what season is it?
Rabbit season.
And there's a rabbit! Shoot him! Shoot him!
Good heavens! He disintegrated.
What's up, Doc? How are things down here on Earth?
Golly, Mr. Rabbit, I hope I didn't hurt you too much when I killed you.
Are you nuts? Why, if he's dead, then I'm a mongoose.
More briefing?
More briefing. Now then, you've got it straight. You're not going to pay no more attention to no more signs. You're just going to listen to me, right?
Right.
Quack, quack. Oh, that's his little game, is it? Shoot the duck! Shoot the duck! Shoot me again! I enjoy it! I love the smell of burnt feathers and gunpowder and cordite! I'm an elk! Shoot me! Go on! It's elk season! I'm a fiddler crab! Why don't you shoot me? It's fiddler crab season!
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond's Animation Direction. This is episode 11. This is the final Animation Direction, episode 4. Now, this is going to be closing out our Golden Age of Animation discussions here on Tooncast Beyond. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, TFT and Mike. Joining me is TV's Mr. Neil.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
How long are we going to keep going with this?
Oh, God, we could do that for an hour. I think one of my favorite... Okay, so in this final episode, folks, we're going to be talking about the man, the myth, the legend, the awesome Mr. Chuck Jones. his trilogy of rabbit... Duck season cartoons. You have Duck, Rabbit, Duck. You have Rabbit Seasoning. And you have Rabbit Fire. I think Rabbit Fire is my favorite. Mm-hmm. But the other two have so many great lines in them. In Rabbit Seasoning, it's the one where at one point in the cartoon, Bugs dresses up like he is known to do. And Daffy comes up to him and he's like, out of sheer honesty, don't you have anything to say? Out of sheer honesty. Yes, I would just love a duck dinner. Bam! You know, just... and in Duck Rabbit Duck, it's...
Would you like to shoot me now or wait till you get home?
No, that's rabbit season.
Oh, okay.
That's rabbit season. In Duck Rabbit Duck, it's
that's the one where it's like the multiple seasons. It's like it's fiddler crab season. No, it's elk season.
Yeah. That's what that one is. It's like just a parboiled minute here. but yeah, Duck Rabbit Duck is the multiple seasons, and by the end of it, Daffy just goes ape shit and is like, it's this season, it's that season, and blah blah blah. And I believe, I'm not looking at the credits on that. I believe that was Carl Stalling on the music for that one. I could be wrong. I'm not, like I said, I'm not looking at any information right now.
Okay.
But if it was him, the whole every time Bugs puts a sign up that dun dun dun, it's like, oh my god, this is the best musical cue to go with a sign ever. Yeah. So awesome. I love Chuck Jones and I love his Looney Tunes stuff, and we'll talk about Tom and Jerry later, but just starting with Looney Tunes, I think the only Roadrunner cartoon that really cracks me up, like the only ones that really make me laugh anymore as an adult, are the ones that he does, and he did one called Soup or Sonic. S-O-U-P or Sonic. In this, the coyote chases the Roadrunner into this giant pipe, and they come out really, really tiny. So the coyote stops, he just taps his foot, and he's like, he whistles at the Roadrunner, because let's face it, by this time the coyote couldn't talk. We'll talk about that later.
Right.
But he whistles at him, and he motions like, come on. And they go back through the same pipe, except it doesn't have the same effect. The coyote is still small, and Roadrunner grew back to normal size, so the coyote jumps over his feet. He goes back, and he realizes, and he hugs the Roadrunner's leg, and he just looks up, and you get this giant meep, meep, you know, sound effect. And at the end of it, he's like, he holds up a sign, he says, all right, wise guys, you always wanted me to catch him. He holds up a second sign. Now what do I do? Oh, God.
Yeah, there are quite a number of Roadrunner cartoons that Chuck Jones did not do, and they're pretty much instantly recognizable as the ones where the coyote makes a bunch of derp faces, because Chuck Jones owns the face. He has so many ways to make it expressive in all the most hilariously subtle ways, and yeah, you could tell when it's not him just by how many several steps down it is in terms of creativity.
And then sadly, because it was the same character model, but sadly some of the Sam the dog and Ralph the wolf in the sheep cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
My God, those are poor ass coyote drawings.
Yeah,
in some of those, I understand those cartoons, but I never really got the like. It's a coyote, and it's the coyote, and he wants something to eat, and he wants sheep to eat, and it's. But I still never, other than you know, just having it be funny, you know.
Right.
But I still never got the whole purpose of the actual jokes behind those. But I did enjoy them. Chuck Jones has a massive, massive body of work. You know, pretty much, even in the music, even when Stalling or whoever was doing the music at the time for Looney Tunes, you could always tell, even before you saw his name, you could just tell.
Mm-hmm.
In the title, or and even if you hadn't watched him in so long, you could always tell. Do you remember the very first Chuck Jones cartoon you ever saw?
Oh, I have no idea, because there's such a body of work that he's done, and just even if we narrowed it down to just the Looney Tunes, I couldn't tell which one I saw first.
Wait, why does IMDb have him as a credit on Mrs. Doubtfire? What the hell?
He's done some movie work. I mean, as long as we're on that topic,
he was the animation supervisor. Okay, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
He's made cameos in movies like Gremlins, and he actually, I know he's done animated bits for movies. I think he did something for Gremlins too. I didn't really, I didn't check it out before the show though.
Says here opening and closing animation sequences.
Yeah.
And he was an animation consultant on Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and He was the director of original animation for Looney Tunes' 50th anniversary TV movie in 86. Oh my God, he did a Chipmunk Christmas.
Yep.
I mean, as a character designer.
Yeah, totally random thing that he did. It's like you wouldn't associate that particular thing with Chuck Jones, but yeah, there it is.
Yep, there it is.
And once again, you could totally tell it's him.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what you can really tell that it's him that has nothing to do with Looney Tunes? His heart grew three sizes that
yep.
day. Oh man, just the stylings of the like the Grinch is effectively Daffy Duck.
Oh, it is. Especially that evil smile that he does when he gets the wickedly awful idea, and this smile just keeps growing and growing and growing. Yeah.
it just was so many things, and just so many. There was a documentary about him. In 2001, the Chuck Jones Show. Huh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, there was a Chuck Jones Show. It was basically just like the Tex Avery Show or the Bob Clampett Show.
Yeah. But, you know, he did a lot of different things. Oh, my God, Super Sonic was 1980. I didn't realize it was only that old. I thought it was older than that. Huh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. He did a few cartoons in the very early 80s when he came back. And
yep.
Some of those are better than others.
Yeah. I mean, the man is just amazing. He really, really is.
One of the very last cartoons he did was a Roadrunner cartoon. And aside from a couple cues in the animation, you could barely tell that it was a modern cartoon because he's really got the old style theory of coloring and character design, and so it doesn't really look like the modern cartoons, where modern cartoons are pretty simplified now, but it's still got the Chuck Jones style to it. So it's very strange. I don't remember the name of that cartoon, but it's very strange to watch it and think, wow, this was done in, like, you know, the last few years of his life.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I'm trying to see if this one is Chuck. Yep. The one Chuck Jones cartoon, there have been several, but the one that I absolutely love has nothing to do with any of the classic Looney Tunes characters. It is House Hunting Mice from 1947 with Hubie and Birdie. I love this one because it's them going into the house of the house of the future and whatever else, and it's them versus the automatic sweeper. And they just want the giant plate of cheese that's in the kitchen. And well, the reason why I remember this so well is because I remember seeing this over and over and over as a kid. And you flash to 1996 when Space Jam came out.
Oh.
And you flash to the end, the big game, and the two of them. Are you ready? Sure, riot! They're the announcers for the game.
Oh my God.
The craziest thing about that scene, though, is there are two human announcers that have fallen asleep in that booth. But this one, House Hunting Mice, oh, God. See, I never really remembered the title of it because I always got it confused with Texas House of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not the actual content, but the actual title. And I thought it was, you know, something along those similar same lines. But, oh, man. This is one short I can watch over and over and over again. It just is. Another one that I found that I absolutely love by Chuck is No Barking with Frisky the dog and Claude the cat.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever really want to have one of the cats in Looney Tunes be sympathetic, you know, be a sympathetic character, watch that one, because poor Frisky, Frisky always hands it to Claude by barking him up a tree or whatever. Oh man, it's so hilarious. What are some of the ones you love by that Chuck has done, specifically the Looney Tunes? Like I said, we'll talk about Tom and Jerry a little bit later.
Sorry. The, I would say, well, just the one you just mentioned. I like the Claude the Cat cartoon just because he liked to make his own characters. I noticed he used Claude the Cat in place of like Sylvester. I think I don't know what his opinion of Sylvester was, but he didn't seem to like gravitate toward that character, so he made his own. You could tell that the man had a cat because Claude is definitely a cat. He acts like a cat.
He's
berserk like a cat.
Yeah.
And then there's also the, I always forget the name of the character. Was it Pussy Face or Pussy Boots or something? It's like the little baby kitten that Mark Anthony.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I never knew the name of that cat.
It's like that cat and Marva the Martian were like the two characters I didn't realize had names. Because you'll never hear the name Marva the Martian in any of the Looney Tunes shorts.
I know a buddy of mine out in San Diego, I do Talking About My Generation with him, Doug Abel. He can do a Marvin the Martian voice. I used to be able to, but my Illyrium, yeah, no, I let's see.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. You are about to make me very angry. It's not exact. When I was younger, I used to be able to do it a hell of a lot better.
Where's the kaboom? Oh, God.
There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom. My favorite Marvin the Martian cartoons is when it's him and K-9.
Yeah.
Poor K-9. Oh, man. I almost like it more when it's Marvin and Daffy going up against each other.
Really?
Yeah, there are a couple of Marvin and Daffy Duck cartoons.
Oh, that's right. I had to think about that for a second. I'm like, Daffy. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Duck Dodgers.
Yeah. No. This isn't... It was Duck Dodgers because it was the one where... they have to go find and claim for the Earth or Mars Planet X.
For the shaving cream, Adam.
Yeah. In that cartoon, I love Porky's. Like, hey, happy birthday, you thing from another world, you. Boom. And then they, at the end of that cartoon, they rev up these super giant explosion things, and they go off, and they just end up hanging off the edge of the planet there. Marvin really excelled, honestly, after his heyday, because eventually there would be a Duck Dodgers cartoon series in 2003, and they really added a hell of a lot to the whole Martian thing. I mean, hell, Cassandra from Wayne's World is the voice of the Martian Queen. I mean, you can't go much more good than that, you know.
And that show was a loving homage to the style of Chuck Jones.
Oh, absolutely.
They went out of their way to mimic that style.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I'm trying to think if Stupor Duck was his.
I don't think it was. I'm pretty sure it was McKimson.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up because that has Thurl Ravenscroft in it as the narrator. but yeah, I mean, Chuck Jones, he's just such a great... you're right, it is McKimson.
Yeah.
Such a great presence with everything that he did. Such you know, the comedic timing, and I know that more so goes to the writing, but I mean, the comedic timing is just absolutely hilarious. I just absolutely love, you know, stuff like Bugs Bunny gets the Boyd. it's just so funny because he shows you how to have fun with the cartoons that he's doing, and it doesn't matter what you look at like Rabbit of Seville or What's Opera Doc. And it's like, Bugs Bunny loves opera? Really?
Well, I just love that he could take the simplest premises and just run with it. He was like the master of the running gag and he had a burlesque he had kind of the spirit of like burlesque type comedy where it's just slapstick and, you know, we'll just take the same premise and run it into the ground. You know, the hunter's after the rabbit, or the mice are trying to get the cheese. And the coyote cartoons, the sheepdog cartoons, just very simple premises, and he just runs with it. He just like runs for the end zone with it every single time. Mm-hmm. Even like. Oh God! I had something in mind. And I just lost it. he was just great.
He really, really was. And there's so many nuances in the comedy. Like, it's what makes the Duck Season, Rabbit Season trilogy so good because of the comedy between the three characters. And it's just written so well. And now because of the writing, I know that he had a different, each of these directors had a different unit. And his unit apparently was Michael Maltese. And we can't talk about Chuck Jones and Looney Tunes without talking about Mike Maltese. Because, man, that guy. Wow. I'm not sure exactly how. Not exactly sure how much they collaborated on ideas or how that was done back then, but what was eventually put out for them was just simply amazing. I mean, I think it's Rabbit Seasoning. In Rabbit Seasoning, it starts off with, I don't know, it's one of them where it starts off with, you know, are you looking for something to eat? There's a rabbit, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and again, the music from Stalling and all that's, you know, Carl Stalling and all that, just, it flows so well. The What's Opera Doc, and Rabbit of Seville, those are two that I like them, but they're just too musical for me. I don't know what it is about them. I do love at the end of What's Opera Doc, Bugs is like, you were expecting a happy ending? I do love that.
I like how that cartoon has permanently cemented Kill the Wabbit into the vernacular. To the point where anytime anyone hears Flight of the Valkyries, they automatically think Kill the Wabbit.
Kill the Wabbit, yeah. Exactly. So awesome. Your spear and magic helmet. Spear and magic helmet.
So hilarious. Magic helmet, magic helmet.
Yep.
Magic helmet.
Yeah. And it's so funny how, like, with Rabbit of Seville is the one where he gives Elmer a haircut and a shave. And it's like, every time I watch that cartoon now, all I can think of is poor Roger.
Oh, jeez.
two bits. what else with him on Looney Tunes? Oh man, I'm trying to think. He's had so many cool, many awesome cartoons.
You just brought up Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That was actually more of a Tex Avery homage. The homage that Chuck Jones got was, unfortunately, Looney Tunes back in action. I mean, that is totally in the style of Chuck Jones, and it's not really a very good movie. I mean, I kind of like it better than Space Jam, but it's got Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Looney Tunes back in action. It's a spoof on James Bond with the Looney Tunes. Mm. That's what it is. I mean, let's face it. The best gag in that entire film is when they're jumping through the paintings.
I thought it was kind of funny when they hopped into the old car and it was making the chugging sound from Belt.
Yeah,
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I'm trying to think what else for Chuck here. Let's see, as far as Looney Tunes go. I'm trying to think. There's just so many things here. There really are. Let's see here. He did. They did all these. They put all these shorts into shows later on, like the Bugs Bunny show from 60 to 62. Mm-hmm. And it didn't, like, A Star Is Bored. I remember that as a regular old short. Let's see, The Mouse on 57th Street. Baton Bunny, Arabian Nights. Oh, God. Never mind joining me. I'll join you. Say hello to Friar Duck.
Yes. That is a great cartoon.
Robin Hood Daffy is amazing. He just, like, the direction in it and just the comedy the comedic timing in it and the writing is just so good. It really, really is. Didn't he do A Hair Grows in Manhattan?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I thought he did. I could be wrong, though. I'm trying to think. Is it Broomstick? One of the Witch Hazel cartoons he did. It's the one where she has Bugs trapped and she's basically barreling down on him. He looks over and he sees, in case of emergency, break this. And it turns Witch Hazel into a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, all Bugs says is, "Oh, sure, I know, but they're all witches inside, aren't they?"
Oh, that is not a politically correct statement in today's world.
No.
But I think all of the Witch Hazel cartoons were his, because I remember there was one where he was sitting in for an old nursery rhyme character, and the joke was, oh yeah, it was Hansel and Gretel, and the joke was that every time someone would say Hansel's name, he would be like, "Hansel?
Hansel?
Hansel."
I don't remember if it's his or not, but there's a big old Shakespeare one called A Witch's Tangled Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, they have a joke about we women drivers.
Oh.
Silly thing, I had it in reverse. that was Levito. That's right. Yeah, that was Abe Levito. But Maltese was on Story. And Chuck Jones and Abe Levito would have worked together later on as well.
Right.
But it just Yeah, I love the Witch Hazel cartoons. She was always such a really great character. Didn't matter who she was going up against. I mean, in that one that you're talking about Hansel and Gretel, he shows up as the truant officer.
Yes.
And then by the time she has him captured, he puts on these, like, doe eyes, this, you know, basically glass-looking look on his face, and she just starts crumbling up. What's the matter, dearie? You remind me of George. Who's George?
My pet tarantula.
Tarantula. And he's like, oh, here, drink this. And this is the one where she has the magic mirror, and it's the genie in the mirror. And, oh, because the potion in that tea basically makes whoever drinks it pretty.
Yes.
And she's so deathly afraid of becoming pretty. Oh, God, just... Everything about Chuck at Looney Tunes was great. It really, really was. Every time I watch a Chuck Jones cartoon, I cannot stop laughing. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's the best out of all the Looney Tunes directors. There are a lot of really fun... Like, I love Baseball Bugs, which was, I believe, Frizz's.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot... You know, I love Bugs and Thugs, which I think is McKimson. The only reason why I even love Bugs and Thug is... Shut up! Of course I'll shut up. I'm never not one to talk. It's not Fat Tony. That's The Simpsons. Muggsy. Muggsy's like, shut up, shutting up. So hilarious. His very first directorial... And in between animator thing was in 1932, something called The Office Boy. Mm. So that was his very first directorial thing. So that's interesting. The last thing he did before his death,
that would have been like a. It's the one with Yosemite Sam.
I think, From Here to Eternity.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep, that was 1997. Not Stupor Duck, Superior Duck.
He did. Okay.
That's what it was. That's why I said Thurl Ravenscroft is in that, because Daffy is supposedly a superhero and tries to show off his superpowers. And, oh, wow, it says that this thing stars, wow, oh my God, no way. You know who they had as Daffy in this? It wasn't Mel.
Who was it?
The Riddler, Frank Gorshin.
Oh my goodness.
Thurl Ravenscroft was the narrator. Eric Goldberg was Marvin the Martian. Jim Cummings was the Tasmanian Devil. That's kind of obvious. Well, yeah, that would make sense because this came out... When Stupor Duck came out... Or not Superior Duck, I'm sorry. Let me see here. Superior Duck. Came out in 96. Yeah, that would make sense because came out in 96 according to IMDb, and obviously Mel was gone by then.
Yeah.
Now,
sadly, Frank Gorshin and Thurl Ravenscroft are both gone as well.
Yeah. And was this his first role as Porky, I wonder? I'm trying to see if this was Bob Bergen's first role as Porky. He went uncredited, obviously, but I'm just trying to see if this was his very first. What year did I say it came out? 96? No, he must have been doing. He might have been doing Porky before then, but I don't think so. I don't know. But yeah, no, Superior Duck is an amazing short because. It basically takes Daffy Duck and Superman and combines the two, but Thurl Ravenscroft can never get the saying right, so they have to stop and start, stop and start. Have you never seen this one?
I've never seen this.
Really?
Really.
Oh, man, you'll have to look for it, because it is hilarious. Daffy's voice is a little off-putting because it's not Mel. But other than that, it's simply amazing. It really, really is. All right. Anything else on his Looney Tunes stuff?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the Tom and Jerry days of Chuck Jones and Sib Tower 12 Productions. We'll be back.
You're despicable.
All right, folks, we are back, and it is time to talk about Chuck Jones and his own production company, Sib Tower 12 Productions, because Chuck Jones, after that horrible, horrible era that we will not talk about, happened for Tom and Jerry. It was given to Jones, and it was back in Hollywood, USA. You can always tell when the cartoons are being made in Hollywood, because on them they say Hollywood USA, the other ones with no voices, crappy sound effects.
Oh.
And I said no voices and crappy sound effects. I mean, granted, let's face it, Tom and Jerry have really never had a voice except in that movie that happened, but honestly, for me, the Jones era of Tom and Jerry is the best era. It's the best when you compare it to the era that shall not be mentioned.
I think the guy did a serviceable job. He did better than Filmation did. That's
well, sure. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. It, you know, the Deutsch era is roses compared to the Filmation era, but comparing the Gene Deitch stuff to Hanna-Barbera and Chuck Jones, it's no contest. Do you remember when you first saw any of these, the Chuck Jones, Tom and Jerry stuff?
Had to be the very early 80s. And like I said in another show, what they used to do with the Tom and Jerry packages is they would just they would cut the beginnings and ends off for the syndication package around here. I don't know if that was how it was in your area, but we never knew who was doing the cartoon, so I could kind of tell that there was a difference between the Chuck Jones stuff and the Hanna-Barbera stuff, but I couldn't really put my finger on it. Plus, it's later Chuck Jones, so it's a lot more evolved than what the Looney Tunes stuff was. So I didn't even connect that it was the same guy as the guy who was doing that. So I never really knew that it was him until like much later.
Yeah. Obviously, the easiest way you can tell is that the characters are a little bit different in design. Their colors are extremely different.
Yeah, Tom's face had he had heavy eyebrows. I think it was like Boris Karloff eyebrows, or I don't know if that's the actor, the right actor I'm thinking of. But and during the Hanna-Barbera stuff, Tom always had like a lighter splash of gray between his eyeballs, and that was gone. For the Chuck Jones stuff. Now, that's like the easiest way for me to tell the difference is that.
My favorite one out of all of these is Haunted Mouse. Haunted Mouse is the one where Jerry's magician friend, possibly cousin, drops by, levitating Tom. Later, when Jerry is preparing dinner, Tom accidentally grabs the magician, who hypnotizes him while Tom is under. The magician basically goes inside his stomach and frees everybody. And the sound effects in this are so well done. When he like it's just so awesome. And so he goes into his stomach, and he then, you know, frees all the birds and the mice and whatever else, and comes back out and gets back into Tom's hand and unhypnotizes him, and Tom just looks at him and freaks.
Yeah. I remember it was like he was opening cell doors, and you hear all this clanking and clattering.
Yep.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It was absolutely hilarious. Fish just getting warmed up. It's one of those ones that was just absolutely amazing. It really, really was. Another one, I'm trying to think here. Because they're like Penthouse Mouse from 63. That was awesome. The Cat Above and the Mouse Below.
Oh, yes.
That one was good. Snowbody Loves Me from 64. That one was good. I think it's, is it the Unshrinkable Jerry Mouse? One of them, one of these has Tom making, and I could be, I might be thinking of one of the Hanna-Barbera ones, but one of them has Tom making that evil potion to give to Jerry.
Right.
And it makes him strong and muscular and basically turns him into Jerry's cousin Muscles for about 5 seconds. You know, I remember when this DVD set came out back in June 23rd. Let's see here. Next style. That's the style. Let's see. I'm trying to see here if it says... it was a few years ago. It was a two-disc set. I remember when I got this DVD set, the Chuck Jones collection for Tom and Jerry. As soon as I got it, I popped it in, watched the first disc, took that out, watched the second disc. I was laughing so hard all that day because I just love Chuck doing these because it really feels like... Because he had Mel there. Because mm-hmm. Mel was doing the vocal effects for
right.
for at least Tom or Jerry.
Both of them, for sure.
You know. And just thinking that Mel Blanc was a vocal effect or, you know, a quote-unquote voice of Tom and Jerry, along with everything else that he's done. It's just simply amazing. Did you have a favorite from the Chuck Jones era here from Tom and Jerry?
I'm really having a hard time thinking because to me, his Tom and Jerry cartoons kind of blend together. I mean, they're all really funny. The one cartoon he did for MGM that's completely apart from them is called The Dot and the Line, which yeah. is the one where it's the dot who, or it's the line that falls in love with the dot, but the dot's really into this other squiggly line. And the end of it is that the line learns to be more abstract, and he does so in ways that the squiggle could never be. And it's like a really, it's a really bizarre cartoon, but it's really creative as well. And it's one, it doesn't, I don't think it has any backgrounds in it. I think it's all just a white backdrop, and they let all the, yeah. they let all the animation really shine in that one.
Yeah. Very awesome.
And that's always the one that stands out for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it probably has to be the. Oh God, I just mentioned it. You know, like I said, Haunted Mouse. I believe it's Penthouse Mouse that has the two of them running across the top of the penthouse, and they both end up at a construction site, going through all that and. I believe at one point in that cartoon, Tom actually gets pounded by the pile driver thing. And he comes out looking like an accordion.
Right.
So I just absolutely love that. You don't see, like, when they did other Looney Tunes stuff after Chuck passed away, and don't get me wrong, folks, like I said, you know, there are other directors that everybody loves and the other directors that we love, but like for me right now, Chuck Jones was and forever will be the best out of them all personally. You don't see Chuck Jones animation anymore.
No.
I mean, sure you had Looney Tunes back in action in 2003, but like
it was an attempt.
It was an attempt, yes. I would say that Tiny Toons is... I mean, I believe he was still alive during the Tiny Toons era.
Yeah.
It was a bit of an attempt to amalgamate all of them between Clampett and Frizz and McKimson and Jones and all those guys.
Yeah, but Tom Ruger's team really kind of came up with their own style after a while.
True.
And well, unfortunately, like the, you had people like Glenn Kennedy, whose style just oversaturated everything else.
You said Glenn, and I was like, wait, Murakami worked on that series? Holy crap.
No, no.
Thank God.
Everyone would have flat fingers.
You did have them attempting to do something different with the Looney Tunes with Lunatics Unleashed, which no one should ever, ever talk about. I know.
Difference is putting it nicely.
Well, we'll have an episode about that and the 2011. What did you think of them doing the new show? I don't even think it's still on now. It's on, but I don't think they're doing new episodes. The Looney Tunes show. What did you think of that?
It came out in 2011. It's interesting, and I know why it exists, but it's not really something that's for me. I don't really, I don't really go for that style of Looney Tunes. It's like okay, my stance has always been that the animators and the directors are the stars, and Looney Tunes are just kind of like, they're more like sock puppets for those people. It's like, really, it was Chuck Jones' sense of humor that made those cartoons wonderful. And when I see Bugs Bunny in a newer cartoon, I'm just like, it's not going to be the same. And I never find newer cartoons as funny as the old stuff. I'd rather watch someone like Tom Ruger, who would come up with like new stuff like Freakazoid.
Yeah. Well, apparently, and again, take this with a grain of salt because it's Wikipedia, but. Let's see. It is produced by, obviously, by Warner Brothers Animation. July 29th, last year, producer Tony Cervone confirmed that the series will not be renewed for the third season. So, it only got two seasons. So, it got 52 episodes. I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I think what probably put me off was all of the ways that they worked in the other Looney Tunes. And the weird music videos and, like, the Marvin the Martian thing. That was just weird. And why is it that the show itself has to be 2D, but the Roadrunner cartoons are 3D? That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
That would just drive me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was interesting. I love that they actually brought attention to this, because we live in such a day and age now where everything has to be politically correct. In, I think it was one of the first episodes where Bugs actually goes to jail, and he wants to actually stay in jail. Porky and Daffy come to, well, no, Porky has to come bail him and Daffy out. And the guards ask him, where are your pants, son? Oh, they're in the car. Like, they actively make a joke out of the fact that Porky Pig should be wearing pants at all times, and he doesn't. But yeah, I'm interested to see what Warner Brothers comes up with in the future, whether it be movies or cartoon series or whatever. But nothing will ever equal the genius of Chuck Jones and Mike Maltese and that entire crew. I did want to bring up one other thing here before we go away. This isn't done by Jones, but I think it very much has his style to it. You remember Blooper Bunny?
Blooper Bunny. Is that the one where it's like the... It's like an anniversary cartoon, and they keep
screwing up. Yeah, 51st and a half anniversary. June 13th, 1997. It was directed by Greg Ford and Terry Lennon. The voices were done by Jeff Bergman and Gordon Hunt. Music by George Daughtry. absolutely. This is the one where... this is the one where Elmer fires the real gun as opposed to his cartoon gun, which actually grazes Daffy's head. Bugs scolds him, and Elmer responds that he thought it would be a great big birthday surprise if he finally shot Bugs after 51 and a half years of twying. Daffy starts yelling at Elmer for not using the prop gun and neglects Bugs' insistence on cutting. He then walks away as he tells Elmer to expect his lawyers to call him, and gets struck in the face by the loose board Bugs had avoided earlier. With the board going through his beak, when Bugs asks if they can cut now, Daffy says, "You smug son of a..." And then it cuts to a beep. This cartoon here is... It very much is a collaboration. It's very much a mixture of all the directors, but I really feel like this is something Chuck Jones would actually laugh at. Mm-hmm. He might have even seen this, because this was before his death.
Oh, yeah. It was quite a number of years before he actually died, so...
Yeah, I mean, he passed away in 2002. You know, every time I see that cartoon... absolutely. I equal the ending to that cartoon to what Clark Griswold did in Christmas Vacation. Because the Yosemite Sam rant, it's just human nature to hate rabbits. You carn sarn idiot rabbit. and then of course Bugs at the very end is like, maybe we can fix it in the editing. And poor Elmer. When we first see him, he's trying to do his hair tonic thing, and he says, the minoxidil method. And I'm like, oh, God.
God.
Oh, it's so hilarious. Oh, I love that one. But like I said, Chuck Jones, a man well beyond his years as far as, you know, animation goes. People that are listening to this... You have to not have a soul to enjoy his work when it comes to Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry.
You have to not have a soul?
Yeah. If you don't, someone who doesn't enjoy this stuff does not have a soul.
Okay, because you said it the opposite way. You'll hear it in the editing.
Yeah, I know. We'll fix it in the editing.
don't cut.
Yeah. And I love Daffy's line in that, "No, don't cut. I want it be known to the world while I give this Nimrod, two-bit Nimrod, a severe dressing down." God, so hilarious. All right, folks, so here's the deal. Tooncast Beyond is coming back in full force in 2015. We have a plan. It's going to be a variety of different episodes with a variety of different hosts. We're going to kick it off with episode 58. I don't know when this is going to happen. We have to produce a lot of these first. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen. But episode 58 is going to be Disney's Frozen, because I want to get that out of the way. Episode 60 is going to be Gargoyles. Episode 75 is going to be Dino Saucers. Episode 69 is going to be Celebrity Deathmatch.
Appropriate number for that.
I know, right? We are going to have a very short discussion in episode 66 for the Ewoks cartoon. I cannot remember the name of the damn thing for the life of me. It's Ewoks of Endor. I don't know.
I thought it was just the Ewoks cartoon.
Okay, well, we'll go with that. But yeah, it's we are going to have an episode that does discuss Lunatics Unleashed and the Looney Tunes show. Kind of like a compare and contrast and which one is better. Mm. Which
you put those two shows side by side and a giant greater than sign will descend from the heavens and point the larger end toward the Looney Tunes show.
Yeah, I bet. But that's not all. Even though right now I have a list of up to episode 75, I actually have a list longer than that. I don't want to give everything away, but we are going to have a bunch of stuff this year, which will all culminate into the first annual Tooncast Beyond 25 Days of Christmas. That's right. In December, from December 1st to December 25th, 2015, we're going to give you one episode per day, talking about various Christmas cartoons from various franchises. I'm trying to, like, just for an example, I don't know what episode number this is or anything like that. There was a Johnny Bravo Christmas special. There was a Kim Possible Christmas special. There was, you know, there's the Mickey Mouse Christmas specials. There's, at the end of year, at the end of the first year of 25 Days of Christmas, we're going to actually go back and discuss Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, boy.
Charlie Brown Christmas, what the hell's God? You'd think it's Christmas, You'd think I'd friggin' know what the hell the name of the damn thing is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
The Charlie Brown Christmas special, Rudolph, the real Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because we have to actually, we actually have to wait till July before we can do Rudolph and Frosty in July. we will be doing Frosty the Snowman with Jimmy Durante, the good one, not the one with John Goodman, which is later.
Oh,
that one, in my mind, does not exist. So we got a lot of things. 2015 is going to be the year of Tooncast Beyond, folks. I don't know how far up in the episode numbers we're going to get. I have a plan for weekly content that will start most likely middle of March, potentially. So I hope everyone has enjoyed the Animation Direction Spotlight. This has just been a blast with you talking about these cartoons. You have any final thoughts for the listeners, Mr. Neil?
Nothing at the time, no.
All right, well, I guess we'll let Porky blooper his way through That's All, folks. So we will catch you in mid-March with episode 58, all about Disney's Frozen.
To the vector goes the spoils.
That, sir, is an investigated fabrication. It's wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
I say it's duck season, and I say fire.
And action.
That's all, folks.
Cut. Porky, could we just get a little bit of the stutter? Just a little bit of the stutter. That would be great.
Yes, of course. Silly me.
Not a problem. Ready? Quiet. Ready and action.
That's all, folks. Darn it. Did it again, didn't I? You wanted the stutter. Sorry, guys.
Perfectly all right. Still rolling. And action.
That's all for the folks.
You're sounding great, Pork. We'll get there. You got the stutter. Tell you what, could we get the stutter on the that this time?
I'm sorry?
I'd just like to try getting the stutter on the that.
That's all, folks?
Exactly. You're doing great.
Oh, obviously. You want to do it?
No. You're the star. Porky, you ready? And action.
That's all, folks.
Cut. Beautiful. You're a real pip, kid.
Whatever.